This week, an unlikely showdown between, on one side, mom-and-pop bookstores Barnes & Noble and Walmart, and on the other, the world's largest online retailer and honed and highlighted self-help guru, Tim Ferriss.
The four-hour work week is possible, but you need to completely unplug and reset.
That's Ferriss on a previous bestseller, The 4-Hour Work Week. Ferriss's books have sold over 2 million copies combined, which is why Amazon signed him this year to a reported 7-figure contract. Amazon released his latest, The 4-Hour Chef, this past Tuesday, enabling Ferriss to bypass traditional publishers and cut those dinosaurs out of the supply chain.
Getting rid of everything, all the static, all the noise, all the interruptions that interfere with getting you to that ideal lifestyle.
But those dinosaurs decline to play dead. Instead, they are largely refusing to display or in many cases even sell the new book. The showdown underscores a moment when publishing seems either on the brink of collapse or reinvention.
Forget about what's popular and really look at what works and what is consuming your time.
Now, booksellers don't not sell books. In the 1970s, they stocked Nixon's memoirs despite protests, and in the 80s, they stocked the Satanic Verses despite bomb threats. I asked New York Times reporter David Streitfeld, who covers the industry, what makes Tim Ferriss so special?
It's nothing personal about Ferriss, but Ferriss is the first time that Amazon is really making a major effort to have a major bestseller. They want that book to sell not only digitally, but in its physical version. And so this is the first time the booksellers have really had an opportunity to hit back against Amazon.
But Amazon can sell the physical book just as easily as it would sell a digital one.
Maybe not just as easily. For all of the great things that Amazon does, it gets you the book 2 days later, or the next day if you really want it. It allows you to read the first chapter. It sells it at a discount. It still cannot put the book in your hands and allow you to page through it. That's something that only a physical bookseller can do.
You said it wasn't personal against Timothy Ferriss, but isn't it just a little?
Just a little in the sense that they're upset that he has aligned himself with their enemy, Amazon. The booksellers feel that they were responsible for helping make Tim Ferriss a big success.
Crown specifically, a division of Random House?
Right. Crown took him on when I think 24 publishers had turned him down, and they put a major effort into it. And now the booksellers feel that Ferriss has abandoned Crown and them to reinvent publishing, as he said. They don't particularly want publishing reinvented.
Is this just symbolic, or do you think this could actually work?
Tim Ferriss has a great desire to be a huge bestseller. He has a lot of ideas, and so he will work triply hard to make this book work. Amazon does not want to be embarrassed here, and so it will work triply hard to make this work. But I still think however many copies the book ends up selling, either digitally or in physical form, it would have sold more with the bookseller's support.
David Streitfeld is a reporter for The New York Times. However things turn out for Ferriss's 4-Hour Chef, the publishing industry is convulsing. Just as Hurricane Sandy approached New York City, Penguin and Random House, two of the big six publishing houses, announced that they would become one.
To mark the moment, we're updating and rebroadcasting our hour first aired this spring on the state of the book business. One caveat, you'll hear some of our guests refer to the big six publishing houses. That number, as we've just mentioned, has since been reduced by one. But the trends remain the same. Bookstore sales continued their downward slide. And though last year's ebook sales soared, they're still just taking a larger slice of an ever-shrinking revenue pie.
Meanwhile, the four remaining non-merged houses are still grappling with the impact of a lawsuit filed this year by the Justice Department. The DOJ sued publishers for attempting to seize back control of book pricing from Amazon. The settlement that resulted broke the back of their united effort to keep Amazon from undercutting them by selling books at impossibly low prices. More on that later. Mike Schatzkin, head of the Idealogical Company, a publishing consulting firm, says publishers need a new value proposition. It used to be,
we can put books on shelves. And for 100 years, that's been a great business. It is not going to be a great business for the next 10 years. It's going to get worse and worse. They're going to have to find some other value propositions.
Like what?
You can't just publish any subject that comes along and let the bookstore sort out who the right customer is. You have to think about what areas you're going to publish in, and you have to publish in those areas over and over again so you know those communities and those communities know you. You add flexibility to sell them things that you might otherwise not have been able to sell them before that are related. So conferences, for example, or there's a publisher called Osprey, which does military. And you build up enough of a direct connection with people who are interested in military history, you can sell them battlefield tours, not just books. And that's the future. The future is siloed by interests.
What happens if you publish literary fiction?
Then you're that's going to be the hardest kind of stuff to do.
You were about to say, then you're screwed.
I wasn't going to say you're screwed. But I would say this. In the 1830s and 1840s, the most popular American writers were poets. And the reason for that is literacy was low. People wanted to buy a book that a bunch of people could enjoy by somebody reading it out loud to them. By the 1880s, public education had solved that problem. And poets didn't do as well, and novelists did better. Now, one of the things that's been happening because of the ebook revolution is that genre fiction, romance, thriller, sci-fi has done very well because a lot of people eat them like candy. The establishment can't keep their habit fed, so they're willing to try something different and new, particularly if it's cheap. The successful self-published writers have all been in genres. They haven't been literary fiction, and they haven't been writing biographies of Steve Jobs, for example. That book has got to cost $500,000 to write. You've got a serious journalist spending several years trying to do this with a research team. There's no way that a book like that gets written unless some publisher or somebody writes a check for $500,000 or $1 million.
If Walter Isaacson can't get paid what he needs to write the biography of Steve Jobs, a guaranteed bestseller, then the problem is that the public doesn't want it enough. Not that Amazon is driving down the prices of ebooks.
No, that's actually just not true, because you now have a market which is bifurcated, and you have lots and lots of books, most of the branded books that are between $10 and $15, and they yield revenue of X, which actually would support Walter Isaacson. And you have lots and lots and lots of books that are $1, $2, and $3, and some of those are selling a lot of copies. So what happens in this new economy that we're in is that the total amount of revenue generated by bestsellers drops precipitously, and Amazon doesn't care about that. If we lose major publishers, what we will lose is the books that won't even be written.
Mike, thank you very much.
You're quite welcome.
Mike Schatzkin heads the Idealogical Company, a publishing industry consulting firm.